الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولله الأسماء الحسنى أسماء الحسنى فادعوه بها. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Whenever a child is born, the parents they desire that the name of their child should be a beautiful name. With respect to meaning, it should be easy on the tongue, beautiful. So that the child would grow up and become like the name. When the Prophet ﷺ was born, so the grandfather Abdul Muttalib, he proposed the name Muhammad ﷺ. And this was a name which the people in Arabia hadn't heard of before. This is a natural instinct that we want our names to be full of meaning, beautiful, easy on the tongue. So now we can try to imagine that being who has created the entire universe, so how beautiful would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be, and how beautiful would be the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Allah ta'ala says in Quran, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. That beautiful names are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you should call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using His beautiful names. One of the changes that we see in our society today is that instead of acquiring the ma'rifat of Allah, knowing Allah, we see more and more people are trying to get the ma'rifat of dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this ability to know, to recognize, and we should use this ability first and foremost to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to attain ma'rifat of Allah, to know Him. When we teach at the university, sometimes students, they have conversations with each other and they say, the professor, he doesn't care about us. Why? Because he doesn't even know our name. So if at a worldly sense we think that that person doesn't care about us because doesn't know our name, then we should think about our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that at least try to make that attempt to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name. And these names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are a very beautiful, a very easy way through which we can know Allah, we can develop a ta'alluq with Allah, a connection, a relationship with Allah, and we can increase in our ma'rifah and muhabbat of Allah. We can increase in our yaqeen and certainty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And through these names, when we have that ta'alluq and relationship with Allah, this can also help us fulfill our needs in this world and also attain salvation in the akhirah. So the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are many, many names of Allah. There are many, many sifat of Allah. There are some names which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught His Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Some names are known to the angels. Some names are known to creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are some other names which only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, no one else knows. But out of those names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are 99 names that are very famous. And most of you will know about these 99 names. And there is a hadith where the Prophet said, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 99 names, and whoever learns these names, dakhala al-jannah, will be able to enter into Jannah. But those names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the sifati names of Allah. They're the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we will start with the first name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the khas, the personal, the direct name of Allah, which is Isme Azam, Isme Jalala, Allah. This name is not a sifati or an attributive name of Allah, or an attribute of Allah, or a sifat of Allah. Rather, this is the personal direct name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the khas name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the zati name of Allah. It's that name which combines all the attributes, all the perfections, the kamalat. All of them are combined together in this one name, Allah. And this is a very beautiful name which in Quran Allah Ta'ala uses multiple times. About 2900 times this name comes over and over again. In some surah, in some ayat, you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions his name once. In certain ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions his name twice. Then there are certain other ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions his name thrice. And then there are also ayat in the Quran where there is one ayat and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned his Isme Azam, Isme Jalala four times. And there is also a case of an ayah where Allah Ta'ala in one single ayah mentions his name five times. The reason why this name is so beautiful is there are several reasons why this name is beautiful. There are several reasons why there is so much barakah in this name. If you look from an Arabic linguistic perspective, that this is such a beautiful, a complete name that if you take away each letter, so whatever is remaining will still have meaning. So for example, if our names, you know, if you take away, if I take away my first letter, the other letters don't, they don't make any sense. But if you take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so Allah, so Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard, then you take the first Hamza, you're left with the Lillah. So that is also is referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lillahi ma fis samawati wal ard. To Allah belongs whatever is in the skies and in the earth. Then you take out the first Ilam, you're left with Lahu. And Lahu is also indicating towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lahu ma fis samawati wal ard, that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs whatever is in the heavens and the sky. And then if you take out this last lam, you are left with who. And this who is also indicating towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kul huwallahu ahad. So we understand that the name is so beautiful that the name, totality of it is also pointing to Allah. And if you take out every letter, whatever is remaining, that also points towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see that when a child is born, the first name that goes into his ears is the name of Allah. This is the sunnah that when a person is born, we should say azan in the right ear of that child and iqamat in the left ear of the child. So that through both his ears, he is able to hear the word Allah. And then when a person is about to leave this world, so at the time of death, again, we say La ilaha illallah. We recite the kalima, Muhammadur Rasulullah. So the last letter, the last word that goes inside the ears is also going to be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, there is a hadith mubarakah that if someone has a child and the parents, they teach their child the name of Allah. And when the child starts speaking, then the moment he says the word Allah for the first time in his life, because of this amal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the sins of his parents. And if the parents, their sins are forgiven, why? Because their child took the name of Allah. The beginning of azan is also with Allah. The ending of azan is also with Allah. The start of namaz and salah is also Allah. And the end of namaz, salah is also Allah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. It's a very beautiful name. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen to attach this name to every single aspect of our deen. And this name is the Zati, the personal name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What this means is that through this name we can attain the ta'alluq of Allah. And through the attributes of Allah like Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Malik, those are the attributes, the sifat of Allah through which we can attain takhalluq with Allah. We can adorn the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like takhallaku bi akhlaqillah. That you adorn yourself with the akhlaq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for that we have the other names. But when it comes to having a personal connection, ta'alluq with Allah, then for that we need this ismi zat, which is the name Allah. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used this name. When you say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. When it comes to defeating shaitan, Allah says, just take my name. A'udhu billah. There's no need for taking Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Because Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, there are sifati names there. Those are the attributes of Allah. When it comes to shaitan and defeating shaitan and seeking refuge against shaitan, Allah says, seek my direct name, A'udhu Billah. I said, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajim. And the reason is because shaitan is Allah's personal enemy. And when a person wants to call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says that you should call my direct number. You know, sometimes we have extensions, sometimes we have other numbers, alternate numbers, backup numbers. You have to dial someone to get through to that person. Allah says, no, no. When you want to call me against shaitan, here, this is my personal direct number. A'udhu billah, I'm giving you my isme azam, my isme zat, Allah. So this name, in Arabic language, it has four meanings. The first meaning of this name, Allah, is it refers to that being who gives, who does ata. And we call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Allah because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives so many blessings and bounties to us. And this applies to only that being who gives. No other being can give to us. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives everything to us. Whatever we get, whatever we receive, it's all coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our life, our body, our hands, our feet, our intelligence, our all the happiness, whatever we have in our heart, the nur of iman, the nur of intellect, every single thing has been given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the first meaning of this word. Then the second meaning of this word is that whenever a person reflects on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the perfection of Allah, then they become, they're amazed by this being. So being amazed by that being, this is also the meaning that is understood by this word Allah. And just like, you know, people in your, you know, in different sciences, physics and biology, they look at the universe around them, they're looking at the creation of the universe, they're looking at the different diversity of animals, and the more and more they discover, the more and more they ponder, the more and more they reflect, right? They're amazed by the beauty of this world. And the ulama, they have written that all of this is pointing towards the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's that being was truly breathtaking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's being amazes people when they reflect on the shan, the kibriyai of Allah, the azmat of Allah. And then the third meaning is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being who gives a sukoon and itmanan, tranquility, or to a person's heart. And the word is has this meaning of giving sukoon to the heart of people. And when a person develops a relationship with Allah, they start following the will and the pleasures of Allah, the desire of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts itmanan and sukoon in their heart. That itmanan which every person is after, whether Muslim or non-Muslim, whether young or old, men or women, that itmanan comes from that being who controls all this itmanan. And the name has itmanan. Just by having a taluk with that name, you will be able to get itmanan, because this is the meaning of that name. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers, this name refers to that being who gives itmanan to the hearts of individuals. And there is so much itmanan, right? All of you know. There is so much itmanan that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he is inside the fire, but he is resting in that state of itmanan. And then the fourth meaning that is contained in this word is that it refers to that being who gives a sanctuary to his servants, who gives a refuge, a panah, a sanctuary or a refuge, a place of where they can feel security. So in this world, whenever a person feels any parishani, any issue, any problems, whenever there is any sadness or grief, attaching ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give solace to our hearts. It would also be a sanctuary. Because again, the meaning of this word Allah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being who provides us with that sanctuary. Allah says about this in Quran also that there is no one who can give sanctuary other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now there are several barakatain, there are several special characteristics that are combined in this name Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first is that this name is the what you call the spirit of the entire universe. This name is the reason why this universe exists. Subhanallah, this name is so barakat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says tadara kasmu rabbik, that full of barakah is the name of your Rabb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's zat is also barakat, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ism, his name Allah, this is also barakat. It is full of barakah, and this name has so much barakah that when you say this word bismillah, that I begin with the name of Allah, that's one meaning which ordinary we no, that I begin with the name of Allah. But the Mufassirin, they have written that in Arabic language, when you say Bismillah, the Ba has many other meanings. You're actually saying, I begin with the Barakah of the name of Allah. And whatever task you do with this name, then Allah Ta'ala will put Barakah in that name. So you eat, Allah Ta'ala will put Barakah. You say Bismillah, Allah will put barakah in that act. You drink, you say Bismillah, it gets barakah. That's why there is a hadith. We are taught these du'as that Bismillahi wa ala barakatillah. When you ride a ride, when you ride and going somewhere, then again Allah says that you should recite Bismillah. Bismillahi majreha wa mursaha. Inna Rabbi laghafurur rahim. This was the dua at the time of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam. He wasn't given the complete Bismillahi Rahmanir Rahim. He was given this ayah, Bismillahi majreha wa mursaha. And this Bismillah, the first part had so much barakah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him and his ship from the whole tufan, from that storm, that thunderstorm, that heavy rain that came. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him and that ark. And the message here is that, oh, and now this is a message for us. That, oh believers, we are from the Prophet ﷺ's ummah. We have been given the complete Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And if we use this phrase over and over again abundantly in our life, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the barakah of this ayah, through the barakah of this name, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give us protection, sanctuary in this world, and Allah can also give us sanctuary and protection in Akhirah against the fire of Jahannam. Then the second aspect of barakah of this name is that this name, like I said, is the reason why this earth, why this universe is intact. There is a Sahih Muslim, Sahih Hadith in Muslim Sharif, the Prophet ﷺ said, لا تقوم الساعة حتى لا يقال في الأرض الله الله. That the day of Qiyamah will not be established for as long until there is at least one person who is saying Allah Allah. Yani even if there is one person alive on this universe who is mentioning the name Allah Allah, Qiyamah will not be able to come. So we understand from this, Muhaddithin have written, that this name is so barakat, full of barakah, that it is causing the universe to exist. That Qiyamat cannot come as long as a person takes this name. So we should think that if this name can delay Qiyamat, then how, if we take this name can also delay and save us from many musibat and issues and problems in our life. The greatest problem is Qiyamah. Qiyamah can be delayed because of this name. So any person who takes this name over and over again abundantly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will delay, will remove, will save that person from problems and issues in his life. There is another hadith of Baraka that the angel who will blow the trumpet, Israfil alayhi salam, he has been told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when you listen, when you see that there is one person on this earth who takes my name Allah, then you should delay blowing the trumpet for 40 years. This is Hadith Mubarakah. And the last person on this earth, when he says the word Allah for the last time, 40 years after that, Angel Israfil alayhi salam will blow the trumpet. Yani this loves, this word Allah has so much power and so much barakah that it can delay the blowing of the trumpet for 40 years. So imagine how much barakah is kept in this name. Subhanallah, we don't need to go that far to understand the barakat of this name. Just look at your own life. And for those of us who are married, we will realize that this name had so much barakah that a person was completely a stranger for us. We took the name of Allah, and because of that name Allah, that same person now becomes our life partner. That person is now closer to us. Those distances are now folded up because of the barakah of this name. Right? That person who was unrelated to us, the Shariat said that you cannot even be with her. And you just mention the name Allah, you take the name Allah, you do nikah and you marry her in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that same person now becomes so close to you that Quran Allah Ta'ala is saying, Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. That she is now your libas, she's like your clothing, and you are a clothing unto her. And if you reflect on this ayah, the closest thing to a person is their libas, is their clothing, right? The closest thing to a person's body is their clothing, and that's the level of qurb that a person gets because of the name, because of the barakah of this name. Ya ayyuhan nas, Ya ayyuhan nas uttaku rabbakumul ladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahida wa khalaqa minha zawjaha wa bassa minhuma rijalan kaseeran wa nisaa wattaqullaha alladhi tasaaluna bihi wal arham. Istasaal, that you took this name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because of this name, this nikah came into existence. So how much barakah is kept in this name? The distances are folded up. A complete stranger can become the closest person to you. And not only this, that person who you're not supposed to look at, it was impermissible for you to look at that person. And now looking at that same person becomes a source of reward and sawab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this name has a lot of barakatin. But the truth is that we are not aware, we don't recognize the barakatin that is embedded in this name of Allah. We haven't tried it. We haven't used this word in our life. We haven't tested this. There comes a hadith of Mubarakah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a name which is called Ism-e-Azam, the greatest name. And any person, when he makes any dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using the Ism-e-Azam, that dua is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's a lot of tahqeeq and research which different ulama have done about which name is the Ism-e-Azam. And the majority of the ulama, including Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah, all of them, they have come to the conclusion that the Ism-e-Azam is the name Allah, is that personal name, Ism-e-Azam, Ism-e-Jalala, Allah. This is that name through which if a person makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their duas will be accepted by Allah. Now here there is a question that comes to our mind. Then all of us, we use the name of Allah Ta'ala, we make dua. But actually, it's not simply about the word, it's about the tongue which says that word. It's about the tongue which says that word. If that tongue is truthful, if that tongue is pure, then this word becomes Ism-e-Azam, then every dua that a person makes will be accepted. Yani the asr, the efficacy, the effect comes because of the tongue. That tongue which takes this name Allah. So for example, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he would say to people who were dead, Kum bi-ithnillah, stand up with the permission of Allah, and they would rise up. Today if I say Kum bi-ithnillah, if someone else says Kum bi-ithnillah, you know, I can't even wake a person who's sleeping, let alone waking a person who's dead. The words are the same. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he used the same word. And we are also using that same word. But if we can use this word 10,000 times, nothing will happen. The tongue, the word is the same, but the tongue is different. That was the tongue of a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our tongues are, we lie, we backbite. And our tongues are not pure. Because of which we don't have that asr in our tongue. Any person who begins to purify their tongue, who begins to have truth on their tongue, they will see how their du'as are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this word, Allah, this is the Ism-e-Azam. But the barakatin will come when we take this name with a true, with a pure tongue. So let me give you some examples of this from history. You go back to the first and the greatest example, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was resting under a tree. And one unbeliever,
He came and he had a sword in his hand. And he thought that I have an opportunity. Let me take benefit from the situation. When he came a bit close, the Prophet ﷺ, he woke up. And at that time, this unbeliever, he said to the Prophet ﷺ, "Man ya'simuka minni," that who will save you from me? And Hadith Mubarakah, it's mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ said, "Allah." And when the Prophet ﷺ said this word, that person started trembling. And the sword that he was holding, it fell from his hand. And he just loves this word, has so much effect in Tasir, that person started shivering, the sword came down, and then the Prophet ﷺ, he picked up that sword and said the same thing, that "Man ya'simuka minni," that who will save you from me? And then he said that, "You are Kareem, you are Rahim, you please forgive me, give me a chance." And then the Prophet ﷺ let that person go. So when a person takes this name Allah with a true tongue, with a pure tongue, then there will be barakah in this word. And because we don't have that purity on our tongue, that's why we're not able to see that barakah that is mentioned in this name. We're not able to benefit from that barakah. We're not able to get that effect. Second story is, there was in about the 7th, 8th century, there was a Mongol invasion on the Islamic civilization. And there was a city there which was called Darband. And one Mongol prince, he came, he reached that city, and he told all the people, all the Muslims, they should evacuate. And all the people, they were terrified of the Mongols, they evacuated, they left that city. So the prince, he entered that city, and it's completely desolate and empty, barren. And he was thinking that, look, we have such a reputation that when we enter, people leave their homes and their houses and their cities. So at that time, one of his guards, he informed the prince that there is one person who was still inside the city. He hasn't left the city. He's an old man, white beard, white hair, and that person is sitting inside the masjid. So the prince was a bit surprised. He said that, "Why isn't he left? That call that person, shackle him in chains and bring that person to me." So that old man, he was presented before that prince, and his name was Sheikh Ahmad Darbindi Rahmatullah Alayh, a very pious servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the prince asked him that, "Didn't you know that I was entering the city? Why didn't you leave?" He said that, "Why should I leave? I was sitting in the house of Allah." Now the prince became more agitated. He said that, "Now who will save you from my punishment?" And when he said this, so Hazrat Darbindi Rahmatullah, he increased, he got jalal. And in his josh, he said that, "Allah will save me." And he said this word, Allah, with so much intensity, with so much robe and haiba, that prince, when he heard this name Allah, he started shivering. And the sheikh, when he said this word Allah, his shackles, they broke apart. The chain fell apart from his hand. And the prince, he was in awe at this situation. And he thought that this is a very unique person, very special person, someone very close to Allah. He's not a common person. And he let that person go. If you come closer to time, in the Indian subcontinent, there is a very big sheikh who, it's written about him that thousands of people have testified that whenever he would look at some unbeliever and he would say the word Allah, that person would recite the kalama and become a Muslim. Yani the zaban, the tongue had so much tasir, had so much effect, that the word Allah would descend into the heart of the other person. The azmat of that kalama would descend, the azmat of that word would descend, and they would recite the kalama and become Muslim. Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah was a very big alim from Indo subcontinent. He said that this word Allah has so much barakah that if there is a person who takes this name Allah once in his life with muhabba, right? Any person, a Muslim, who takes this name Allah with muhabbat once in his life, then this amal, this action will become a source of najat and salvation from Jahannam, one way or the other. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Then the other aspect and the beauty of this name is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tied itminan with this name Allah. If a person wants to get sukoon, solace, tranquility and peace in their heart, they should try to do takrar, they should try to use this name abundantly on their tongue, and they should try to use this name abundantly in their heart. Remember this name abundantly. Why? Because Allah says in Quran, Allah bi dhikrillah tatma'innul qulub, that only and only in the remembrance of Allah do spiritual hearts find rest. And that is why when a mu'min, when they hear the word Allah, their hearts, they feel something in their heart. Their heart trembles, quivers. Allah mentions one of the attributes of the mu'mineen, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. That for the believer, a mu'min are those, when the word Allah is mentioned, their hearts quiver. Their hearts feel it. Just like when you have muhabbat for someone and you hear the name of that beloved, you feel it in your heart. In worldly love also, when you're in love with someone and your beloved, his name or her name is taken, your ears immediately tune. You listen to it. You feel it. That enters into your heart. Or take another example, when a mother, she hears the name of her son, she might be on the first story, her son is on the ground floor, and the child, he says, Ammi or Mummy or Mama, and that's it. She feels it, the heart feels it, and she is willing to leave her work, she might be willing to leave her food, or she might be, you know, doing some other things, she's willing to leave, stop that, and she goes and attend to her child needs. So in the same way, for those who are close to Allah, when the word Allah is mentioned, their hearts feel it. They like it. And Quran is testifying that their hearts quiver. That's why Allah says in Quran, وَذْكُرِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ, that you should remember the name of Allah. اسْمَ رَبِّكَ, remember the name of Allah. Now what is the name of Allah? The Zati personal name, that is Allah. So jitna, no matter how much we remember the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more sukoon and tranquility we will feel in our hearts. Qad aflaha man tazakka wa zakara isma rabbihi fasalla. That falah is that for that person who does the tazkiyah, purifies himself and then takes the name of Allah, and then after that he prays. So More and more we take this name of Allah, we allow this name to go through our heart, the more our hearts will be able to feel that itminan and sukoon. Hazrat Khwaja Abul Hasan Kharkani Rahmatullah was a very big sheikh and a very pious person from our ummah. Once he had a dialogue with a philosopher of his time by the name of Ibn Sina or Avicenna. And Ibn Sina, he came to one of the gatherings of the Shaykh. And the Shaykh was mentioning some fazail and barakat of this name, Ismizat Allah. That this name, if you take this name, it will relieve you of affliction. It will save you from grief. It will provide sukoon to your heart. It will bring barakah in your life. So he was mentioning a lot of virtues and fazail. Now, Ibn Sina, he listened to this for some time and then said that how is it possible that all these benefits are contained in this one name, Allah? So the Shaykh, he said to him that what would a donkey know the benefit of this name, Allah? Now he used this word, apparently a very harsh word, right? And Ibn Sina, when he was addressed in such a way, he felt that embarrassed. He felt embarrassed, and he started, sweating. And sweat came down, and his face changed, the expression changed, his complexion changed. So now the Sheikh actually wanted to teach a lesson, hikmat. And he said to Ibn Sina, said, what happened? I just took a name. And then he said that, look, you took a very, you know, you took a name which is not befitting my shan. And then the Sheikh explained that, look, I only said the word donkey and it had such an effect on you that you started sweating, your color changed, your complexion changed. Now, if a person takes the word Allah, won't this word also be able to bring about a change in effect inside the heart of a person? So why isn't this word, why can't this word bring about a revolution? Right? And this is what we see. This is what we experience, that there are certain names, and this is one of those names, that if you take this name, the more and more we take this name, we will be able to feel the effect in our heart. Our elders, our Akabareen, they have written that when a person takes this name, Allah, Allah, in their heart, and this heart begins to receive Allah, Allah, their heart is thinking Allah, Allah, the name Allah creates its own path inside the heart of a person. And you don't need to force it. You just need to allow this word into your heart, then the path, you know, the name will make its own path. Just like rivers, they make their own path through mountains. In the same way, this word Allah will make its own path inside your heart. All we have to do is just take this name more and more inside our heart. Now, in addition to the barakat of this name, there is also a barakah in doing adab of this name. So not simply taking this name, just simply having respect for this name is also going to invite and attract the mercies from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'll give you a story. There was a person by the name of Hazrat Bashir Hafi rahmatullah alayh, who was an alcoholic, who was an addict. And he was walking once and he saw there was a piece of paper on the ground which had the name Allah written on it. And even though he was drunk, intoxicated, but he could recognize the name of Allah. So he picked it up and he thought to himself that this name is so barakat. This is the name of Allah. It should not be lying on the ground. He picked it up, he perfumed it, brought it back to his house and kept it at some high place in his home. And this amal, this action of his, then the honor, the respect that he had for this name, Allah, this became a turning point in his life. That night he had a dream, and in the dream he heard a voice which said that, O Bashar Hafi, you have raised our name from the ground to the ceiling. Raise your name from the farsh to the arsh. Allah Ta'ala gave tawfiq to that person to make tawbah. His life changed and he went on to become one of the friends of Allah, one of the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So any person who respects this name, who gives adab and honors this name, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will invite the barakat from Allah, the rahmat from Allah. Now, how can we practically benefit from this name? So I've already mentioned that we should try to take this name over and over again in our heart. Because the more and more we take this name, the more and more sukoon, itminan we will get in our heart. And this can be done very practically for people. Maybe someone might be a beginner here. So they can just try to look at their free time. Any situation you have free time, let's say 3 minutes or less of free time. 3 minutes or less of free time, use that time to think about this name. Use that time to make your heart say this name, Allah. Kitna zarbe lagana. Apply this name, Allah, on your heart. And keep on applying this name, Allah, Allah, on your heart. Just like 1 or 2 minutes, whenever you have free time. Whenever you have more than 3 minutes, then you can use that time to do your work of the dunya. But 2 minutes or 3 minutes or 1 minute, a few seconds that you have, you can't really do anything productive in the dunya. And you will see that if we can even do this one amal, there'll be so many opportunities, so many pockets of time that you will be able to get throughout the day. 10 seconds, 20 seconds, maybe you're waiting for your parents to come in the car. Maybe you're just, you know, looking outside, staring outside the window, looking at the rain, right? You get those opportunities, those pockets. If you can fill those pockets with the name Allah on your heart, apply the name Allah on your heart, you will feel the barakah. Why? Because Allah says in Quran, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ, that when you remember me, I will remember you. So those moments when you're remembering Allah in your heart, Allah will be remembering your heart. Allah, you will become the object of the remembrance of Allah. You will be the madhkur and Allah will be the zakir. Allah will be doing dhikr of you at that time. And when Allah is remembering your heart, there is no way. Imagine if I just tell you, if I tell an atheist or an agnostic that Allah is remembering a person's heart, that person will also say that if Allah is remembering someone's heart, then that person will feel something, right? There is no way that Allah remembers your heart and you don't feel it. That's impossible. So when you remember Allah, your remembrance will attract the remembrance of Allah. Allah will remember your heart. And when Allah remembers your heart, Allah will shower your heart with His rahmah, with His mercy. And when you are able to feel the remembrance of Allah, when you know that you are being remembered by Allah, all your shukuk and shubhat will go away about thee. All the skepticisms and doubts about Allah, they will just evaporate. Because for that moment, you will feel that you are being remembered by Allah. This will be a moment of connect for you. A moment where you're in the zone. A moment where you're able to feel that qurb with Allah subhanAllah. You felt it. You tasted it for yourself. And now that you have tasted it, there's no way you can go back to that skepticism and doubt. This is the surest way to attain yaqeen, conviction in your heart when you taste it for yourself. And for tasting it, you just have to be remembered by Allah. And for that, you remember Allah. You will feel sweetness in your heart. You will feel itminan in your heart. You will feel all that issues and that grief and that anxiety, stress levels will decrease for such a person because that person's heart is being remembered by Allah. So practically, we should try to become people who remember Allah's name every day, multiple times every day. And for beginners, they can just maybe begin with some of their free time, 1-2 minutes, and just think, apply this name, Allah, 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 over and over again on their heart. A second thing is that whenever we do any activity, we should begin with the Bismillah. The Prophet ﷺ said that whenever we begin any activity and we don't say Bismillah, that act is left incomplete, it's deficient. There is some deficiency, it doesn't have that barakah. So that's why in our Islam deen, we have this ta'aleem and teaching that anything that you do, you begin with Bismillah, Bismillah. If you have more time, you can say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. If not, just say Bismillah. And again, this is a very, you might think this is, what's the big deal here? A very small thing. But it's a very small thing. However, the reality, this is not some rasam or rivaj. It's not some ritual. If we can reflect on what we are saying, there is a very deep and a profound message contained here in Bismillah. It can completely revolutionize your thinking, change your thinking. Because when you are saying Bismillah, you are announcing that everything that is all the blessings that you are getting and all the actions that are happening, they are happening because of the will and the wish of Allah. Yani, I have no ikhtiyar. All the blessings that I'm receiving, I'm getting this from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I eat my food, Bismillah. This food I earned, or maybe I worked and I got the money and I used the money to buy this food. But behind that process, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is musabbibul asbab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider of that food. I'm attributing that food back to Allah. I'm attributing this drink back to Allah. Whatever ni'matim, whatever task we are doing, we say Bismillah, and when we say Bismillah, we are saying that all these blessings given to me, they're given to me by Allah. I'm attributing them back to Allah. I'm not attributing to myself. And when you say this, you save yourself from arrogance. And you acquire humility, ajazi. And you, Allah will increase you in blessings. Because you are doing shukr of Allah. That Allah, Bismillah, Bismillah, Bismillah. All of these activities, I'm writing my research paper. I start with Bismillah. I admit that the ability to be able to complete this will come from Allah. I start my lecture, I say Bismillah. The ability to make this beneficial, this lecture beneficial for the people is going to come from Allah. Not from my own self, not from my intellect, not from my akal, my mal, my paisa, my reputation, my English, my eloquence. No, it will come from Allah. Allah is the source. Allah is the musabbibul asbab. I attribute everything back to Allah. That Allah, all khair, all barakah will come from you. All blessings will come from you. And Allah loves this. When you say Bismillah, Allah will put barakah. Allah will ensure that that action will have the best outcome. Allah will ensure that that action will be able to bring you closer to your objective. Many times it happens that you do something, we are doing it over and over again, but we are still not able to complete that task. It's unfinished, incomplete. Why? Because we are not attracting the barakah of this name, Allah. So we should have this habit of using Bismillah in our daily activity, attributing everything that we do back to Allah Ta'ala, not to ourselves. This Bismillah has so much tasir that Hazrat Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, he wrote a letter to the Byzantine ruler. And in that, no, it's actually the opposite first. The Byzantine ruler, he wrote the letter to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, that I have some pain in my head and can you prescribe some treatment for this? And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he sent one of his cap, topi, and told him that you can keep this on your head, and when you do so, inshallah, you will get healing. So here he received that topi from Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he kept it on his head, and the pain diminished. And when the pain diminished, he was surprised. Now when he took it off, again the pain came back. So he was very surprised. And in investigation, he was curious. He started looking at the topi. And when he opened the topi, he saw that inside there was a piece, there was some parchment. And on that it was written, Bismillah. I begin with the name of Allah. There is barakah, there is tasir in this name. Imam Razi rahmatullah, in his very famous tafsir Kabir, he writes that once Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he was passing by a grave and the person inside that grave was being punished, was being given azab-e-kabr at that time. Then a few days later, again, he happened to pass by that same grave, and this time he saw that the angels of mercy who have encompassed and enveloped the person inside the grave, and instead of darkness, there is noor. So Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, he was surprised. And he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open up the matter for him. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent ilham and a wahi to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that this person who was inside the grave was a sinner, because of which he was getting this punishment. However, when he died, his wife was expecting, and now his wife, she conceived, she had a baby, and the baby has now grown up, and he has entered into a madrasa. And there, when he entered on the first day, the teacher taught him Bismillah, and the child recited Bismillah. And when the child said Bismillah, when he took my name, At that point, I felt shame that his father is being punished inside that grave, whereas his own son has mentioned my name here in this class. So because of the barakah of the name taken by that son, I have decided to save the father from that punishment. Allahu Akbar. This word Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to, may Allah ta'ala grant all of us the tawfiq to be able to take this name again and again in our life. This is the name that all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, all the awliya, all the people who were close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever any difficulty came into their life, they would take the name Allah. Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he took the name Allah. Allah Ta'ala granted him sukoon on this earth. Allah accepted his tawbah, gave him solace on this earth. Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, he took this name Allah. The barakah of this name became manifest and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him, blessed him with Sayyidina Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam, even though he was very old at that time. This name has so much effect. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he is thrown inside that fire. He took the name Allah. And Allah Ta'ala converted that fire into a garden, a peaceful, cool garden for him. Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, he was inside the belly of that whale. He took the name Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him an exit from that belly, gave him salvation and najat. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he would say the word Allah and a blind person would get eyesight. People will... Lepers, they would be healed. And people who were dead, they would become alive because of the name Allah. So we also have to follow in the footsteps and we should try to take this name as much as possible in our life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the tawfiq to be able to have an attachment with this name. If you have an attachment with this name, then you don't need to ask anyone else. In Quran, Allah Ta'ala has given us the rule, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, that we seek, we worship you and you alone, وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, and we seek help from you and you alone. And the Mufassirin, they have written that the whole of Deen can be summed up in these two things. That this hukum, that you worship Allah alone, and then in every affair of your life, if you want assistance, seek assistance from Allah alone. Allah. It said that one, there was a king, Aurangzeb, Mughal emperor, and a person came to that king and he had some need. And he was thinking that the king can fulfill my need. So when he came inside, the servant told him that you have to wait for some time. And the ruler, the Mughal emperor, he is praying his salah. He is praying his chasht salah. When he becomes free, then you can come and you can put your request before him. So when the emperor, he completed his salah, the questioner came and he asked, you said salam. And he said, I don't need to ask a question to you. I just want to go back now. The zarurat with which I came to you, that has already been solved. So the emperor asked him that what happened? May you tell me, you have come from such a travel for so long and now you're going without even asking your question. So he said that I actually came with some issue, but when I saw that you are also standing on the musalla and then after that you are raising your hands and making dua to Allah, then I realized that you are also dependent. And when you are also dependent, when you also have to ask, when you also need to get assistance from someone, then why should I take assistance from you? Why can't I get directly, why can I directly establish a ta'alluq with Allah Ta'ala and get help and assistance from that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So in every need, in every time of zarura, parishani, we should turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and keep on asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Allah says that you ask from me and I will accept your dua. I'll just end with two du'as that are we have in the Sunnah. The Prophet he has taught us to make a du'a. As'aluka Allahumma inni as'aluka lazzata nazri ila wajhikal kareem wa shawka ila liqa'ik. Thero Allah, I wish, I ask from you the lazzat of looking at your noble face. Subhanallah. Every word is so beautiful. Allah, I ask you the sweetness, the lazzat, the enjoyment of looking at your blessed face. Wa shauka ila liqa'ik. And I want the shock. I ask from you the shock, the eagerness to be able to meet you, the zawk to be able to meet you. So this was the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And in this month of Ramadan, we should also try to make this dua to Allah Ta'ala, that Allah, we also wish to see the, we also ask from you, Allah, that you grant us the lazzat of looking at your blessed face. And Allah, we also ask from you this shock, this craze of meeting you on the Day of Judgment. Hazrat Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, she once came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and she had some difficulty. So the Prophet taught her that whenever you are in some state of difficulty, some affliction, you should make the following dua and Allah ta'ala is going to relieve you from that difficulty. It's a very short dua which all of us can remember. About 6 words in this dua. Allah, Allah, Rabbi, la ushriku bihi shay'a. That's it. It has the word Allah in it twice. Allah, Allah, Rabbi, that, oh Allah, my Rabb, my Lord, la ushriku bihi shay'a, that I do not associate any partner with you. La ushriku bihi shay'a. So whenever any one of us goes through some difficulty in their life, we should also try to use this dua. Allah, Allah, Rabbi, la ushriku bihi shay'a. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to remove that difficulty from us. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah ta'ala grant all of us the tawfiq to act on these teachings. May Allah ta'ala grant us a ta'alluq with His name. May Allah ta'ala enable us to fall in love with this name. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to do adab and honor this name. May Allah Ta'ala also try, may Allah Ta'ala also grant us the tawfiq to be able to embed and engrave this, inscribe this name on our heart. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. سبحان ربي العظيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا الله يا رب كريم ظلمنا أنفسنا يا رب كريم يا الله you are our خالق you are our مالك ظلمنا أنفسنا يا رب كريم we have done ظلم on ourselves يا رب كريم we come to you tonight in توبة. Allah, we ask you to forgive us for all of our sins. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we are sick and tired of our susti. We are sick and tired of our laziness. We are sick and tired of our ghafla. We are sick and tired of our sins. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Allah, to grant us an exit from this life of sin, to this life of heedlessness, from all these emotions that are empty of you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, out of the barakah of this name, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, to remove all the traces of sins from our heart, to remove all the temptations of sin from our hearts, to remove all the memories of sin from our hearts. And Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem,
Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to ignite the flame of your muhabba into our hearts, Ya Allah. Allah, ignite the flame of your love inside our hearts. Allah, make us love you more than anyone else in our life. Allah, make us yearn for you more than any other yearning that we have. Allah, increase us in our longing with you. Increase us in our craving and our ta'alluq with you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to grant us a ta'alluq with you. Allah, accept us, Ya Allah, for this ta'alluq with you. Accept us, Ya Allah, for your muhabba, for your ma'rifah, for your ma'iyah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, we have started this series about your beautiful 99 names. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you to grant us the ma'arif of each one of these names, to grant us the ma'arif, the deep meanings, the hidden secrets of each one of these names. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you, Ya Allah, to enable us to use these names to be able to know you, to be able to attain ma'rifat of you, Ya Allah, to be able to attain muhabbat of you, Ya Allah, to be able to attain ma'iyat with you, Ya Allah, to be able to attain your qurb, Ya Allah, to be able to attain your mushahida, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we want ta'alluq and ta'aruf of you, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, enable us to use these names to be able to draw close to you, to be able to come close to you, to be able to know you. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to adorn us with these names. Takhallaku bi ikhlaqillah, to adorn us, Ya Allah, with these sifat, with these attributes. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you to accept these du'as from all of us tonight. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us people of dhikr. Make us people who remember your name abundantly. Ya Rabbi Kareem, engrave this name on our heart. Allah, inscribe this name permanently on our qulub, Ya Allah. Allah, inscribe it in such a fashion that nothing can wipe them away. Nothing can remove them, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us people who remember you. Allah, make us people who remember you to such a degree that we can never ever forget you in our heart for even the blink of an eye. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us people who remember you, Ya Allah. Make us people of dhikr. Make us people who remember you abundantly from the core of our hearts, from the depth of our hearts. Allah, make us people who remember you from the tips of our hair to the tips of our hair to the soles of our feet. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, make us embodiments of this ayah. Ya Allah, what you say in Quran, وَذَاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَذَاكِرَاتٍ, those people who remember you abundantly. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us people who remember you abundantly. Make us people who remember you while they're standing, while they're sitting, while they're lying on their sides. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to include our names amongst the Zakireen, to include our names amongst the Muttaqeen, the Muhsineen, the Muqarrabeen. Ya Rabbi Kareem, take our names out from the Ghafileen. Take our names out from the Munafiqeen and the Kafireen. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, adorn us with all the Sifat and Mu'minana that you have mentioned in the Quran. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept these du'as from all of us tonight. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul 'alim wa tub 'alayna innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim wa sallallahu ta'ala ala habibihi khayri khalqihi Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.